Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TICFM and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by Bruce Adams, President and CEO of the Credit Union League of Connecticut. Good morning to you, sir.
Well, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's start with the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program offered by the federal government as part of the $2.2 trillion stimulus package passed earlier this month. We understand it is now out of money. Tell us what business owners should know.
Well, I think the first thing that business owners should know is that there's more money coming. And I think it's started at $349 billion, and some amount, somewhat less than that, will come in, and businesses will be able once again to make their applications and access that relief.
And as we sit here, we don't know what the remedy is going to be specifically, but what advice are you giving business owners who maybe haven't applied yet?
Well, the advice is simple. You don't wait to get your ducks in a row. So if you do business with a credit union, call your credit union and ask for assistance. If you do business with a bank, do the same thing. Getting all of the information you think you might need ready will put you in a good position to apply when the new round of funding comes in. That's really important.
Backing up a minute, how does this work? They're called loans, but in many cases, they are forgivable loans if employers keep workers on the payroll, correct?
Of course. And that's really a big, you know, reason why this program was created. It's to help employers keep their employees on the books and keep people, because, you know, when that happens, people stay in their homes. People can buy their prescriptions. People can pay their rent or buy food. And that's a really, I think, important difference from the subprime mortgage crisis of, you know, 10 years ago or so. And today, today we have realized, I think, on a national level, that we need to get the support out to the individual level and stabilize that community. And so the Paycheck Protection Program works by giving the employer, and there's a little formula and you can factor in some things, but essentially you can get up to 2.5 times your monthly payroll. And you have to use that money to pay your employees, of course. And if you do that and you don't lay off any employees in a certain time frame, then that loan can turn into a grant, which would be forgivable. And that's important. Speaking of forgivable loans, and something that listeners may be anticipating is if somebody forgives a debt, sometimes that becomes taxable. But the IRS has said that these loans, when they get forgiven, would not go into your applicable tax. So that's good news.
What have you been hearing from business owners on the ground in Connecticut in the early days of this program? Has the demand for it been strong?
The demand has been really strong. And it was so strong that the Small Business Administration's system portal for processing these loans got bogged down. Banks and credit unions put greater, you know, human resources involved. They worked late hours. They worked over the weekends trying to find those times where the system would be less burdened. And it still was a sort of a tsunami of applications. As I understand it, the SBA has put in new technological system to make processing go easier. And it's widely expected that the this upcoming round of stimulus funding will be allocated out in such a way to distribute the dollars and increase the number of lenders to be able to do the work. And it seems to me that that should even the flow through the system in this next round and make everybody's experience a little bit better.
What sort of challenges are you hearing Connecticut businesses facing in trying to access this help?
Well, there have been a number of challenges, and most of them technological, based on the burden from having such an amazingly large number of applicants into a system that wasn't prepared to receive that kind of volume. I think that's one of the challenges that government and certainly many businesses will face in this crisis, is that with so much activity coming in, if you're not able to plan out your response, you're going to have to do things quickly, and we see that with the PPP. So when the SBA put together all the terms in, frankly, a lightning fast amount of time, my thinking is that probably they weren't able to also do the planning about their technological capability. And so what that means is that when millions of people come in trying to do these loans into this portal, it gets bogged down and it can't process as fast as people would like. So what the credit unions and what the banks did was reallocate their resources to work in many cases in off hours, in the late evenings, in the mornings, on weekends, to try to distribute their activity across the system at its lesser burden times. And that was a really good thing that the credit unions and banks did to try to help their business customers get their loans approved. I think we're going to see in the next round of funding a more distributed network of lenders, and we're going to have those dollars also allocated out in such a way as to spread the load. And of course, the SBA has had time now to improve its technological capabilities for processing this stuff.
The interesting thing with these loans and SBA instruments in general is that banks and credit unions are like the SBA's Main Street office. That's the starting point. Does that pose any challenges for financial institutions?
Well, sure. The challenge it poses for financial institutions, of course, is that we're on the front lines with our members, with our customers, having conversations with them and trying to put them into a product that we don't control. And so if there's delays or other problems with the processing of it, the customer can sort of reasonably get frustrated with the bank or the credit union. So that's a risk, but things are getting better, and it's a matter of education too. And I think even more importantly than that, what everybody needs to understand, whether we're talking about money, we're talking about government response to reopening the country or the state, any of these things, we must have remind ourselves that patience is the order of the day, because this national response has been swift for sure. But because it's been swift, it hasn't been fully vetted. And you know, as one thing I've learned in terms of crisis management is, you don't let perfect be the enemy of the good. You've got to respond soon, and then you've got to get better as you go. And I think that's what you're seeing here today in the PPP program.
Are there other ways that businesses can get help beyond PPP?
Oh, sure. Businesses should go to their lender, to their bank or credit union, and ask for any number of different ways to help. I know credit unions, you know, sort of by design, we're creative financial problem solvers. So maybe there's a shorter term loan for a smaller amount to solve one particular problem. Maybe a small business needs to preserve its inventory in a new location or something, and they just need a little bit of capital to be able to do that. Those sorts of conversations are what credit unions were made for. Bring your problem in and work it out and see what your credit union can do or your bank can do for you.
Moving from businesses to individuals, what sort of help is out there for individuals, both at the federal level and the state level?
Well, of course, there's unemployment, and I think that's the big thing to talk about. And we have the PUA, Pandemic Unemployment Assistance money coming in that will provide an additional $600 a week on top of state unemployment benefits. And we know that in the state there's been a there was a backlog in the state's processing capabilities to get unemployment claims paid, but they've been eating away at that very fast, and they made technological improvements on the fly that has increased their processing capabilities greatly. But individuals have needs now, and across my credit unions in my state, they're doing so many wonderful things. I know of one that set up a very small fund, but just had sort of emergency cash ready for people who, you know, who had an immediate need to run out and, you know, hopefully not buy tons of toilet paper, but, you know, to go out and get, let's say, a last minute prescription, and they just were short on cash. I know there's been plenty of unemployment bridge loans that they have done for their members at very, very low interest rate, just to get them across the gap, you know, the delay gap. And of course, car loans and many other personal loans, all of which are for, you know, that individuals take out. They all have to, many of them will have to get modified or changed in some way in order to stabilize their financial status. Now, they will really need modifications on a number of their personal loans. And credit unions have been doing that immensely. In fact, they were doing so many good things. We set up a website to promote it on our customer-facing website. And it's ctcreditunions.org/100years And it's a great place to look at some of the great work that our credit unions have been doing, really by doing what they do by design. We weren't told to do these things. And so we thought it was a good idea to put up a good set of examples of the good work that we're doing.
You are listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to Bruce Adams, president and CEO of the Credit Union League of Connecticut. There is also assistance from the state when it comes to trying to pay your mortgage if you find yourself suddenly unemployed. Tell us about that program.
Yeah, that program was a voluntary program with the banks and the credit unions working with the governor's office to provide relief on mortgages in a number of different ways. And that program was so great for us. That that process was so great for us because it really protected the credit unions and the banks' flexibility to provide those more creative solutions on your mortgage, rather than having a blanket one size fits all approach. And so what we did is, in working with the governor, we decided that in general, if you ask for it and you are affected by COVID-19, you will get up to 90 days of a forbearance on your mortgage. And a forbearance technically means that the payment just gets delayed, so that, as without anything more, what that means is if you've not paid for 3 months, and month four, you've got a really big payment. And I know some people have heard things like that from their banks or from their credit unions. And it's confusing because there's two steps in the process. And the second step is, once you get the forbearance, your credit union or your bank will work with you to find out the right solution for you. And so what that usually means, and what I'm seeing as I look out across the spectrum of what's happening, usually you get those 3 months just tacked on to the end of your loan. But there are other solutions too. You could take those 3 months and put them into your remaining payments. And maybe when you get a job again, you get rehired, you can afford an extra $10 or $12 a month, whatever that might be. Or for whatever reason, maybe you think you can do a balloon payment on your last regularly scheduled payment. All of these things are options that should be available for the borrower to talk with the credit union or the bank about, to try to work out the solution that works the best. And that's why it's so important for us to have that flexibility to work with borrowers. But it has to start with the forbearance. You got to sort of stop the clock and stop the payments so that we can then creatively work to help people through it.
And as you noted, this is something that borrowers have to ask for. Don't just stop paying your mortgage because you don't have the money.
No, that's right. And that's a very good point you bring up, Aaron. The it's never a good idea just to not pay. And the more important thing too for us as credit unions in our industry is, you know, we're really a cooperative. And so what that means is that we use the money that other members put into us as deposits to help other members now in this time with their financial needs. And so we often live in the tension between supporting the needs of the one against the, you know, sort of best interests of the many. And so if you don't need the help and the accommodation, it's a better idea now to not to take it and to continue on as though everything is fine, because you're actually playing a very important role in, frankly, our national recovery, but certainly your local community's recovery, financial recovery. For the people who don't need the help, they shouldn't take it. And because that means that there's more dollars available for the people who do need the help. So that's a really important thing. But when you don't, to get more directly to your question, when you don't pay your mortgage and you don't tell anybody, then no financial institution is going to just assume that you've been affected by COVID. And so it's important to get in early and establish that you are in need of help, so that your financial institution can work with you to get you the help in the normal way.
Now, generally speaking, if you reach out to your lender and you set up an agreement to maybe put off paying your mortgage or fold it into future payments, is that going to hurt your credit score, or will everything remain normal in terms of, you know, being up to date and paid on time?
I think we're going to see more guidance about that from the federal government and maybe from our state governments. But in general, no. The CARES Act, the big $2.2 trillion stimulus act, and the governor's mortgage relief program all talk about not, at least for us as credit unions and banks, that we should report to the credit rating reporting agencies the loans as current or as as being in a forbearance or other ways in order to keep the borrower at sort of status quo in terms of their credit. But, you know, neither a bank nor a credit union really has the ability to promise that a person's credit rating won't be affected, because it's due to so many things in a person's life. It's really up to the credit reporting agencies to talk about what will affect or what won't affect. I know that's a little in the weeds on the details, but the important part is that what we as the lenders have to do is follow the law first. And certainly the terms of the initiative, the governor's initiative that we've joined, in doing everything we can do to avoid reporting on a borrower's credit in such a way that would likely cause a negative impact.
Now, Bruce, before your role with the credit unions, you spent time in government. Kind of pull back the curtain for us. What happens at the upper levels of government when it comes to a crisis response such as this?
Well, certainly we all see it unfolding in the moment that everybody else is seeing it unfold. Sometimes with respect, let's say, to some of the really nasty winter storms we've had in the past five or six years, we can get a little bit of a heads up because, you know, the meteorologists are giving us time to prepare. And so that sort of response can go perhaps a little bit smoother. And as many people will remember from Governor Malloy's administration, there was a pretty substantial number of heavy duty weather events. So everybody takes their piece of in the executive branch, everybody takes their area where they have to work, and they start planning out the response scenarios. So people who work in the tax side will say, is this going to conflict with a tax filing deadline? Do we need to order that deadline to be moved? And somebody else who's working in transportation might start making preliminary plans for, do we close the road now, or when do we close the road, et cetera. And then all that information filters up really to the top. Certainly when I was there, I would be drafting a number of the orders, let's say to close the roads or something. And those decisions are made. And so it's really, it's frankly awesome in the real sense of the word, how much activity happens, and such high quality amount of work from the beginning up until the end. And obviously the devil is in the details, but also the devil is in the decision making when you've got a tidal wave of decisions to make. And so what that leads us to believe, and I think it's served served Governor Malloy well. I think it's serving Governor Lamont well, and governors across the country, is, as I mentioned earlier, don't let perfect be the enemy of the good. And so what people need is competent and confident leadership, and they need decisiveness, and they need the honesty and transparency of those leaders to say, you know what, we're going to do it better next time around. And to bring it back home from the earlier part of this conversation, I think that's what we're seeing in the PPP round four, is that there's with the benefit of a little experience and a little feedback, the rules will change to give businesses more and better access to that money. And so that's generally how that goes. You know, I think of crises as really as marathons, or certainly this one, because what we see is that the recovery phase is going to be the end of the marathon. And we know that when this, you know, as this disease is peaking and now just starting to flatten, that's sort of the beginning part. But the hardest part of the marathon is in the middle. That's the endurance test. And I think that's where we are. I think we're just at the end of the beginning of this thing, and we're starting to get better, but we're all getting tired. And now is the time for us to settle into our groove, adapt to some of these new realities, and just keep one foot going in front of the other.
Let's hope for mile 26 soon. He is Bruce Adams, President and CEO of the Credit Union League of Connecticut. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, it was a real pleasure to be on, and I look forward to speaking with you again sometime.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.